If you have a copy of the Bible, open it, please, to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. I'm going to preach on one of my favorite passages. In fact, it is so much a favorite of mine that every time I preach on it, I feel dissatisfied afterwards because it is such a marvelous, wonderful passage of Scripture that I never feel that I have done it justice. Of course, that's true with any of the Scripture. Any of us at any time could say when we sit down, Lord, I wish I'd have done better than I did. Because the Word of God is precious and priceless. And this passage of all the passages in the Bible, however, is one of my absolute favorites. John 10, we'll begin reading in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him, that is, around the Lord, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. Now, isn't that something? As I said unto you, Jesus is offering an explanation for unbelieving. You believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Then verse 27, my sheep. Now see, here's a class distinction. There's a distinction being drawn. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Thank you, Sherry. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May God add the blessing of His anointing to the reading and preaching of His Word. The Gospel of John, of course, is known as the Gospel that contains the great I Am, the seven I Am's of John's Gospel. Jesus said seven times, I Am, and then identified Himself in a certain way. Of course, He was drawing upon the I Am of the Old Testament when Moses said, Who shall I say hath sent me? And God said, Tell them, Yahweh has sent you. I Am has sent you. And so the Lord pulls on that, identifies Himself as the Yahweh of the Old Testament in John's Gospel as He says again and again, I am. I am the bread of life, He said in John 6. I am the light of the world in chapter 8. I am the door of the sheep in chapter 10. I am the good shepherd again in the 10th chapter. I am the resurrection and the life in chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. And then in the 15th chapter, I am the true vine. Now, of those seven I Am statements, two of them are found in the chapter that we're reading our text from, and both of them in chapter 10 identify the Lord Jesus in connection to sheep and shepherding. Now, that's a common biblical image. It's used throughout the Word of God to describe the relationship of man to his God. In Psalm 100, for instance, the image of sheep and shepherding is used in connection to man as a created being. Know ye that it is God who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. So that uses the image of sheep in the sense of creativity. God has created us. Then it uses it in Isaiah 53:6 in connection to our rebellion. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In that passage, the idea, the image of sheep, is used in connection to man's stupidity, man's rebellion, wandering away from the good fold of God. And then in John 10, the circle is complete. Not only the creativity of God and man's rebellion against God, but then in salvation. Now Jesus elevates the image of the sheep to its highest plateau. And he says, My sheep are those who know me in salvation. My sheep are those who know me in salvation. Our text is concerned with identifying what people can legitimately claim to be the sheep of the Lord. That is, who are the saved? Who are real disciples? In His good grace and under His watchful provision, who can claim to be living in His good grace and under His watchful provision? Well, He said in verses 24 to 26 that there are those who are not His sheep, and the non-sheep are identified by unbelieving. And of course, the reason they are unbelieving is that they aren't His sheep. And their unbelief manifests the fact that they are not His sheep, right? There's a reciprocal relationship. You do not believe because you are not my sheep, and because you do not believe, you are not my sheep. So that cyclical relationship is in those verses of Scripture. Then the Lord turns his attention away from the non-sheep and the problem of unbelief to a description in detail of what his sheep are like. A describing of what genuinely saved people look like and act like, and what they have a right to expect from their shepherd, from the Lord Jesus. Now in verses 27 to 29, or 27 to 30 actually, there are four things said about the sheep that I want to mention this morning quickly. First of all, Jesus said, "My sheep have a listening ear. My sheep hear my voice," he said. "My sheep can hear me when I speak." I remember a fellow asking me one time, called me on the phone. I'd been in evangelism several years at that time, and he thought the Lord might be calling him in evangelism. He said, "How do you know if God's calling you into evangelism?" And I said, "Brother, I really don't know how to answer that question. I'll ask you a reverse question. If you're saved, how could you not know that God was calling you into evangelism?" See, one of the characteristics of being a sheep is you can hear his voice. When he speaks, you hear him. Now, of course, we're in our fallenness, and we still have a flesh nature to deal with, so at times our hearing can be impaired. But if you are his sheep, you can hear, you do recognize the voice of your shepherd when he speaks. Now, let me apply that in two or three areas. First of all, if you're his sheep, you hear his call to salvation, right? The Word of God issues a call. Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Lord ends his Bible with the great call. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, and let him that heareth come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Him that heareth, let him that heareth say, "Come." So, first of all, being a sheep means you hear his invitation to salvation. You can hear his call to salvation. There's a parallel to this over in verse 3 of this same chapter. Well, let's read verse 2. Jesus said, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." We had a man in my last pastorate who was a very wealthy man, one of the few millionaires I've ever known personally that was a really godly man and a giver. Well, he and his wife took a trip to Israel. When he came back, he told me of the experience they had in the land of Israel as they observed shepherding and how the shepherds handled their sheep. Now, I knew this from study. I knew this happened in Jesus' day. I didn't know it was still going on today. It is a common practice, even today in Israel, that when the night begins to fall, all of the shepherds from an area will bring their sheep together into a common holding pen. All of them share the same pen. They bring all of their sheep together. It's an enclosed, it's a walled enclosure in which the sheep can be safe from marauders or thieves. There is a porter who is in charge of guarding them during the night. The next morning, when it's time to lead the sheep back out to pasture, the way the shepherds separate their sheep is they walk to the door of the pen of the enclosure, and they give a certain call, and each one of them has a certain call. And my deacon who went to Israel said it was amazing to watch those. Here's four or five flocks of sheep mingled together. Yet when a shepherd stood and gave his call, those who belonged to him immediately lifted their heads, their ears perked up, and they began to trail out right behind him as he led them out. Now that's what Jesus is drawing on in this passage. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." When I call, their ears perk up and they start trailing behind me. That's what identifies them as belonging to me. Now, friend, you say, "I just don't understand why you folk always talk about salvation and God's invitation." I never heard a thing. Oh, my. If you're his, you hear something. Amen. You hear his call to salvation. You know what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? He said, God, verse 13, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation by sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, and he has called you by my gospel." You see, there is a call that goes out, and that call is heard by those who can be called the sheep of the Lord, and they answer that call. I love to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a number of reasons, not the least of which is it tells that God loves to use foolish things to confound wise things. That gives me hope, amen, that God can use me. And I love to read it for another reason, because the Apostle Paul says, to those who are classified nationally as Jews, the gospel is a stumbling stone. To those who are non-Jews, to the Gentile world, the gospel is foolishness. But unto those of us who are the called, both Jews and Gentiles, now this spans both ethnic groups, to those of us who are the called, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You can have in one service two men sitting side by side. They hear the same message. One man says, that's the power of God and the wisdom of God, and he flees to Christ. The other guy said, that's absolute foolishness to me, and walks out lost. What's the difference? My sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. The sheep of the Lord have a listening ear. They hear His call to salvation. They hear His call to sanctification, I might add. Jesus not only called us to miss hell and go to heaven, Jesus called us to live holy lives now. The Bible says God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And the sheep of the Lord can hear that call. It troubles me that we've got many, many church members who claim to be saved and claim to be a sheep in the pasture of the Lord, but they seem to be deaf to God's call to sanctified living. He not only calls us to salvation and sanctification, He calls us to steadfastness. Do you know 1 Corinthians 15:8 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now that's not to say that you can't backslide out of a faithful lifestyle, but I guarantee you one thing, if you belong to God, even when you're backslidden, you hear the call. It's sounding in your ears. It gives you sleepless nights. It wakes you early and keeps you up late trying to run from it. You can hear His call to steadfastness. You also hear His call to service. Acts 13, verses 2 through 3, the Bible spoke of Paul and Barnabas, and God the Holy Ghost said, separate them to the work whereunto I have called them. He had a call on their life, and they could hear His voice. They heard His voice. They said, God's calling us. God's calling us to do this. God's calling us to be missionaries. Called means assigned to a place of ministry, and that is beyond the non-sheep's ability to understand. I remember one day while I was working in the Texas Highway Department pastoring my first church, little country church out here out of Coleman Hill. I worked with two fellows. One was a Catholic and the other was a Methodist. And one day we got to talking about preaching. And I remember them asking me why I was preaching. I said, well, God's called me. And I remember their response. And both of them, interestingly enough, responded about the same, the Methodist and the Catholic. I remember their response. The answer they gave me was, what do you mean God's called me? How do you know God's called you? Do you have a phone bill to prove it? How do you know God called you? And of course, that's the non-sheep reaction. How can a non-sheep understand? They can't hear. They don't know. But to those who are the sheep of the Lord, the call is as clear as my voice ringing in your ears. Now, I'm not talking about just being called to preach. Some of you are called to teach Sunday school. Others are called to do this, to do that in the church, in the ministry of the Lord. But every one of us who are saved have a call on our life to serve God in some capacity. And the sheep can hear His voice. Well, not only do they have a listening ear, but the sheep have a loving relationship. Jesus said, and I know them. And that's a wonderful word, know. It's wonderful to be known of Him. Somebody says, boy, I know the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it's good to know the Lord, but I'm glad that He knows me, right? Because if I got to the day of judgment and I said, now, Lord, I know You, but He said, but I don't know You, then I'd be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't I? So His sheep are known of Him. He said, I know them. Now, you could look otherwise. The Bible says in verse 3 of this chapter, He calleth His own sheep by name. Isn't that wonderful? I think about Zacchaeus, the sheep of the Lord, climbing that tree, wicked, just as wicked as hell itself, a little sneaky, crooked guy who made his living twisting people's arms, an extortioner by trade. He was a wealthy publican, which means he was very successful at extorting from people money they shouldn't have had to pay in taxes. That's how publicans made their profit. They overcharged people on their taxes, and he was a wealthy publican. And he climbed up a tree one day. And Jesus came down the road, and Jesus walked straight to the foot of his tree. His tree, walked straight to the foot of his tree, looked up, said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And the Bible says Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You see, he called him by name. And friends, the day the Lord arrested your attention, he called you by name. He called his sheep by name. He says in verse 14 of this chapter, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now, the essence of being saved is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a loving relationship. The essence of salvation is, in the words of Jesus in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The God of the Bible, the one true God, is a personal being who desires to have a personal relationship with man whom he has created. This is the aspect of God that the non-sheep cannot comprehend. Non-sheep are comfortable with a force out there. They can talk with you about destiny or fate or even Mother Nature. They're comfortable with all kinds of ideas, the man upstairs and all that kind of. They can talk about God in those kinds of terms because it allows them to keep him distant from them, to treat him as a distant deity who doesn't relate on an individual or personal level or demand an individual or personal accountability. But the God of the Bible is not that God at all. He is a God who comes near. He is a God who draws close. He is a God, as we've learned all this week in this conference, who lives within even his own people. There is a deep personality to God that permeates the sheep so that he can say, I know them. And we can say, I know him. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 7? Many will come to him at that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name we did many wonderful works. And then Jesus said, I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. There's the key, isn't it? The key in being a sheep is not religion, but relationship. There are a lot of religious people who are not his sheep. Relationship is the key. So, not only do we see that sheep have a listening ear and a loving relationship, but thirdly, we see that sheep experience a lifestyle change. Look at this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the word follow could also be translated accompany. And that may be helpful. Sometimes we think of following Jesus in terms of doing religious things. But what Jesus said is, my sheep go where I go. They accompany me. They accompany me. Now that draws back on that image that I mentioned a moment ago of those Israelite shepherds that Jesus was drawing this analogy from. When they would walk up to that pen in the morning and the gate would open, the porter would open the gate to them, and the true shepherd would stand and give his call, and his sheep would prick up their ears and they would take out after him, and he would walk, and all he had to do was walk and they were right behind him. That's the way it works. You don't drive sheep, right? You lead sheep. That's the way sheep work. And so Jesus said, that is the way it functions in the realm of the kingdom of God. My sheep hear me when I call. I know them. I can recognize them when they come out the door of the pen. There's old Spotty. Right? I mean, I know them by name. I watch to make sure they're all mine. And when all of mine are out, I take off down the trail and they follow me. They're right behind me. They're accompanying me. Let me apply that in a couple of ways. First of all, his sheep follow him in baptism. The sheep of the Lord follow him through the waters of baptism. The Lord himself said in his own baptism it was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And then he gave us instruction. He said, every person who says they're to be my disciple, who says they're converted unto me, every person, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in Matthew 28:19. I believe with all of my heart, one of the things that marks out saved people is they want to get baptized. Old Philip was out on the road. You see, and the reason I mention that is because as I go around the country, I come upon some folk every once in a while who will say, now I'm saved, preacher, but I'm not going to get baptized. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not saved if you won't get baptized. No, sir. You've not met the God of the Bible. You are not his sheep. If you were his sheep, you'd follow him. And one of the first places, he's going to lead you through the water. Amen. The water of baptism. You know what happened to old Philip? He was an evangelist, the Bible says. He was out there having a Holy Ghost rally in Samaria. God was moving. And right at the peak of the meeting, when everything was starting to get good, God said, pick up and take off. They hadn't even took up a love offering yet, amen. And he had to leave town. And he got out there on the road, and he saw one of the sheep riding in a chariot who didn't know he was a sheep yet. And he was reading Isaiah 53, and the Spirit led Philip to attach himself to the man. And Philip began to preach the Word of God to him and tell him about Jesus, who was Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And after he'd given him the gospel and God had awakened his dead heart, and he gave his heart to the Lord, he said, wait a minute, here's a pool, here's a puddle. Let's stop. What's keeping me from getting baptized? Yes, sir. God's sheep follow him They follow him in obedience to baptism. They follow him in obedience otherwise, though. Not only do they follow in baptism, they follow in obedience. Say, what do you mean? They follow in obedience. Well, look at verse 3 of our chapter. To him, that is, to the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That picture is obedience. Obedience to the directing of the Lord. You know what 1 John says in chapter 2 and verse 3? 1 John 2:3. Hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Boy, the Word of God calls a lot of Baptists liars, does it not? There are a lot of Baptists who said, I'm saved and I'm secure. Once saved, always saved. I made a profession years ago, and so I'm saved and secure. They're living just as rebelliously out of the will of God, with no concern for the will of God, with no interest in being in the will of God. But I'm saved, they say. Oh, no. No, no, friend. No, you're not. His sheep follow him. And if you're not following him, you've got cause to be greatly concerned about where your eternity is going to be. You say, preacher, are you telling me that I'll be sinless? No. No, no, we're not talking about sinlessness. None of us are sin. We still fight the flesh. But the fact is, if you're a sheep, you do fight the flesh. See, you don't just give in to the flesh. You fight the flesh. If you are one of his sheep, you are identified by a desire to be obedient to God. Now, that desire at times is thwarted and frustrated, and sometimes you may even get mule-headed and kick up against the Lord. But I'll guarantee you, when you do, Psalm 32 kicks into your life, and day and night his hand is heavy on you in chastisement until you're brought back into his will. Titus chapter 1 says that there are many people who profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him. And so works have something to do with it, not in that it earns salvation, but that it manifests that I am saved. Put it more bluntly, every person who's saved looks like it and acts like it. And every person who says they're saved and doesn't act like it is just as lost as a blue jay in a hailstorm. John 10 says, my sheep follow me. If you're not following him, be concerned. Be alarmed. Be warned. There is judgment to come. Not only did his sheep follow him in baptism and follow him in obedience, but his sheep follow him into glory. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm proceeding. I'm leading the way. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's fixing a good sheep pen for us on the other side. And he's coming again one day to take us there. Psalm 73, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, says in verse 23, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me into glory. His sheep follow him. Now, the last thing I want you to notice, and we're going to just read through these words, and I'll make a note or two on translation as we go. Not only do his sheep have a listening ear and a loving relationship and a lifestyle change, but they have a lasting salvation. Verse 28, and I give unto them. Now listen, there are a lot of Baptists across the country who try to claim verse 28 as their promise, but they're not living verse 27 as their lifestyle. Verse 28 is only for those who go through verse 27. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, the emphasis in the original language is on the I. It literally could be translated, I myself. Jesus is saying, I'm doing this. I myself give unto them. They don't earn it. They don't deserve it. This is a gift I give them. I myself give unto them eternal life. And the word that is translated eternal life means eternal. Then he says in verse 28, and they shall never perish. Listen, in the original language, that uses a double negative. Double negatives are not good English, but they're wonderful Greek. A double negative means the strongest possible negation. Literally be translated, and they shall no, never perish. And when you combine those two negatives together in the original language, it means there is no conceivable circumstance under which they could ever possibly lose this life that I've given them and wind up lost for eternity. Now that about settles that issue. You know what he says in John chapter 5 and verse 24, don't you? Let me read this to you right quick. We'll be through. John 5, 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Once born, can never be unborn, no matter what. The nature of the life that Jesus gives is unending, eternal, everlasting, never ceasing, such that those who receive it can be said to know never perish. Then he said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." What keeps me saved? My own effort? My own determination? My own concentration or consecration? None of that. In fact, nothing that I can take credit for at all keeps me saved. The same grace of God that saves without regard to my worthiness or my work seals me and makes me secure by the same power of the blood of the cross and the eternal purposes of God. It is God who is holding on to me, not me who is holding on to Him. And the issues of this morning, the reason we can say hallelujah in spite of our failures and frailties, the reason the sheep of God can get excited and rejoice even in the blackest midnight, is because the issue is not the strength of my grip. The issue is the strength of His grip. And Brother George said yesterday, we are clasped in the grip of omnipotence. Hallelujah. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Now listen, can you say today with confidence, "I am a sheep of His pasture"? As I read this biography of God's sheep, I see it true of me. I fail, but I don't want to fail. I disobey, but I hate it when I do, and I repent. Can you say, "I hear His voice"? We have a relationship with one another, and I follow Him. If you can say that, you can also say, "He has given me life that will never end, and I will never under any circumstance perish because His mighty hand is holding me." I heard a preacher that I have great respect for say one day, "We've got too many goats in the sheep barn." And that's exactly true. We do have a lot of goats in the sheep barn. That's why our churches are full of war and strife and hell by the half acre. We've got a lot of goats in the sheep barn. In our passage, the Lord Jesus tells us how to identify His sheep from the pretenders and the unsaved. And I ask you today, where do these words of Jesus find you? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate?" So the question is today, are you a sheep? You say, "Well, I don't see myself in that passage, preacher. What can I do?" Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Respond to His call. Respond to His call. Stand with me as we pray. Father,